Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And my name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. People don't have heart attacks. You're not just seeing things. It's not just an image that I created in Photoshop to put on the screen. It's actually Luke Leroux. He's alive. He's still in Clearwater, the Tampa Bay area, and he is at Leroux Law. .com. So thank you so much, Luke, for being back on the show. We appreciate having you. Also, we have retired Captain Brett Bartlett, the founder of Exumber Defense Solutions at ExumberDefense.com. And he makes me say this next part, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. So, Luke, he makes me say stuff like that. But anyhow, welcome to the show, gentlemen. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we started satellite radio back on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and we have not looked back since. It's been a great ride. Also, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now, and that's just on the stream. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. So this outfit, Luke, might interest you. If you're having to take the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, keep the foot on the brake, leave the car running, dump them off at Disney, do what Brett does, and then just drive to fishorlandobass.com and do a fishing charter, bass fishing. It's unbelievable. And if you're really adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting, and they don't kill them, but you catch and release alligators. So you have all kinds of options at fishorlandobass.com. So check that out, guys. Also, thanks to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I expect Luke to be all over this first one because he is a First Amendment rights guru. And we've got to ICE arrest an illegal immigrant, but she's an influencer and she's doing a live stream in Los Angeles. And so stay tuned for that. And she's Colombian. So, my wife's Colombian. I have to sleep with one eye open. So they can be dangerous. I know, Brett. So that's our first story. The next one, we got a Maine Reserve police officer agrees to leave the U.S. voluntarily after an ICE arrest. I know what you're thinking. Well, he's a police officer, but ICE arrested him for immigration violations. Yeah, that's an interesting story. Can't wait to cover that. Then we have two Lansing police officers and a suspect. They're all shot at a traffic stop arrest. And I got to tell you, he wrestled a gun away from a cop and he shot two cops. We got a Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase. And then we've got one that I may throw in, guys. I didn't send it to you, but the cop and the conspirators, a former Florida officer sentenced for illegally dealing firearms. That's interesting. We got surveillance video showing a fatal crash between a 79-year-old bicyclist and a Martin County deputy. And then a Houston police officer, they fatally shoot a suspect who broke into an apartment and assaulted a woman. So that's the full gamut. So if you guys don't mind, let's start off with the first one. Let's ship over to California real quick. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. ICE agents, illegal immigrant influencer, or some ICE arrest, illegal immigrant influencer during her live stream in Los Angeles. You bet we did, is the caption on there. So we got a Colombian social media influencer known for documenting immigration and customs enforcement operations in LA. And she ended up being detained by agents on Friday while live streaming, as reported by the Western Journal. Now, according to the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, it's Liddy Tatiana Mafla Martinez. She enters the U.S. illegally, and that happened back in 2022. And she ended up being released under the Biden administration policies. And then DHS confirmed that she was convicted of driving under the influence in L.A. prior to her detention. So she's got that going against her. And continuing with the story here, the arrest was captured live as Mafla Martinez was driving a Tesla, not an inexpensive car. So she must be doing okay as a social media influencer. A left-leaning anti-ICE account on X, formerly Twitter, posted under the handle of Longtime History. It circulated the video claiming that the arrest was violent and targeted. This is what they said. The account wrote that she's a well-known to ICE as a community activist, that she films the raids that are going on in LA, California. And it seems that she's been targeted for an especially brutal arrest to make an example out of her. Now, there's a response from the DHS Assistant Secretary, Tricia McLaughlin, and she said that during her arrest, Martinez claimed to experience shortness of breath. She was given proper medical treatment and will be held in ICE custody pending removal proceeding. So that's all it was. There was no big, you know, violent arrest. The incident also involved interference from bystanders. And McLaughlin reported that one individual attempted to obstruct ICE during the arrest by towing a government vehicle. So they're arresting this Colombian influencer in Los Angeles. And I guess some dude with the tow truck just pulls up and grabs one of the ICE vehicles. And it says that they were chasing after the tow truck towing their car at the end of the story. So Mothla Martinez has more than 40,000 followers on TikTok. Not an exceptionally large number. I was expecting to read it in the hundreds of thousands or the millions or something. And anyhow, so that's the detention means that her removal proceedings will now move forward. So she's not going to be an influencer, at least over here in the States, at least much longer. Commentary on this, Luke, your mic's open, so I'll let you go first if you want to.
Yeah, you know, there's First Amendment rights, and anybody that wants to stand out and protest or make noise about any of the issues that they think are important. Obviously, influencers, the amount of money they make is astonishing. I mean, the people that sell those things, and you know, especially when it comes to the political issues that come up, but you're either legal or you're not. And if there's a legitimate basis to take you and have you go through the processes to, you know, identify somebody as an illegal alien and they want to get deported, that's what takes precedence. I mean, your First Amendment rights don't put an end to everything else that you would have to be dealing with. So I looked at it, and I know that there was a complaint about it. You know, the government can't do things if it's viewpoint-based. They can't just do it to shut her up, but they exercise their authority appropriately, and I think that that's something that has to be accepted. So it's unfortunate for her, but it is what it is. I mean, you have the right to express yourself, but you also have the obligation to be legal and have legal status to be where you are when you are there. So I wish there was more I could say to it in favor of the First Amendment, but I really don't think that there's a First Amendment excuse that does anything but support the actions of the police officer. So that's where I'm at.
Good point. And you know, Brett, you know, she's putting herself out there. It's not like she's hiding out in the basement of some house. Or of course, yeah, they don't really have basements in California, I guess, but too close to the water. But, well, you know, but she's out there.
If you're breaking the law, you know, you don't see burglars driving around town going, "Hey, I'm Bill the Burglar. I just want to let you guys know what I'm doing today. Here's where I'm breaking into a house." But, you know, here's the thing we run across. They're pretty good people. They're probably wonderful people, but they're breaking the law. Okay. Why is it we had such a hard time fighting a DUI arrest? Because they're good people until they break the law. So we see them as, I don't know, paragons of virtue, but they're breaking the law. But you can't break the law. And if you're going to be illegal in this country and you don't want any heat, don't go on the internet. Don't throw yourself out on TikTok.
Yeah, good. That's a good point. And really, if I'm going to pick a social media platform, it's just not going to be, it's not going to be TikTok. You know, we don't even have a presence on TikTok, and that whole China connection thing just bothers me like no tomorrow. But any more commentary on this one, gentlemen? And if not, we'll move on to our next one here. Luke, did you have something else you wanted to say?
No. I think Brett's right on the money, you know, and having handled a lot of DUI cases, everybody's wonderful until they get in trouble. And that's the nature of the beast. That's why the statutes exist.
I got to ask you guys, have you guys, any of you two watched the TV program called 90 Day Fiancé?
No.
Are you familiar with it?
No, because I don't want my head to explode.
I flip by it.
So you flip by. So you know what I'm talking about, Luke, right?
Yeah.
So if I ever want to feel good about my life, and look, I'm happy. I have a Colombian wife, very happy. But if I ever really want to feel really good about my life, all I have to do is flip on 90 Day Fiancé with all the drama. My wife had it on TV last night. And yeah, and there's a Colombian chick on there that's sleeping with two dudes, and neither one of them know that she's sleeping with the other one. And it is just the drama, like you said, the drama that goes on, it makes you feel so much better. No matter how bad you've got it, flip on 90 Day Fiancé, it'll make you, you would not want to trade places with anybody.
Well, you know, I think a lot of those shows are scripted, no matter what they say. But still,
you know, I got one of the guys that's on that show lives here in my development here.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. Wow. My wife and I walked the dogs, and we knew that they were in here, the family, but we had a nice conversation about him the other day with him about the family. Yeah. Some stuff scripted, but he assures us that most of the stuff is not scripted.
Well, I don't know. Why would you watch a show that's boring? Right. That wouldn't last very long, would it?
No, that's true. That's true. All right, guys. Well, look, we've got about 40 seconds before we do our first commercial break. So I've got just enough time to kind of whet the appetite on what we're going to be talking about next. So let me go ahead and do that. And I'm going to go in and start the outro music. But look, our next topic that we're going to be talking about, so stay tuned. It's going to be an update story. We got a Maine Reserve police officer agreeing to leave the U.S. voluntarily after ICE arrest him for immigration violations. And yeah. Someone's got a lot of explaining to do. Stick with us, guys. Yeah. Commercial break. We'll be like that. All right, guys. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. I know we give away a couple every week on the show. And hey, Brett, I just ordered a new pair of boots from Gauls at Gauls.com. They're waterproof. If I would have had those on back in April when I messed up my knee, I probably wouldn't have fallen. So guys, go to Gauls.com, everything but guns and ammo, Gauls.com. You'd be glad that you did. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, we all are familiar with our favorite product that they have. It's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And they have their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction De-escalation Technology. Now, when it comes to weapons retention and transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them the Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And don't forget to watch the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, during the commercial break, we've got Ronald Rose on the stream. He looks like he's on Facebook, and he asked if I got the picture that he sent. He ordered a shirt at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, we had two bells. They built their new online store at Leo Roundtable. He ordered a shirt, and I think that he won a gift card too. So yeah, got the picture, and you looked sharp in it. It's got the Leo Roundtable logo on it, kind of similar to what I've got on right now. If anybody wants to check out our cool gear, it is at LeoRoundtable.com. Go to that online store, and we don't make a dime, a penny, nothing off of what's in the store. We pay what you guys pay, and we're keeping the price point as low as possible so that we can get our gear out there. So guys, please check it out. Now, I kind of whet the appetite before our last commercial break, and we're going to be talking. This is FoxNews.com. Maine Reserve police officer agrees to leave the U.S. voluntarily after ICE arrest for immigration violations. How in the world does this happen? And then, of course, we're not talking about California. We're talking about Maine. So a Maine Reserve police officer arrested by ICE for allegedly trying to buy a firearm illegally, he's agreed to leave the country, according to the agency. Now, the reserve officer, he works with the Old Orchard Beach Police Department, and he's a Jamaican national. He was arrested on July the 25th, and they got help from ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, according to ISIS Enforcement and Removal Operations, and they're called ERO. So Evans was taken into custody after a firearm purchase attempt raised concerns that was tied to his immigration status. Now, a judge has now granted him voluntary departure, which gives him the ability to leave the U.S. at his own expense rather than face being deported. And I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that there's probably a window for him to come back, maybe legally as well. Reports by federal authorities claim that he legally entered the U.S. through the Miami International Airport. That was back September the 24th of 2023. So almost 2 years ago. But he's reportedly under a visa that required his departure by October 1st of 2023. So it allowed him to be here, for September the 24th to October the 1st of 2023. What, about a week? But he failed to leave as required, and he's been in the U.S. unlawfully ever since for almost 2 years. So ICE officials are now investigating how he ended up getting hired by the local police agency and if he was given a department-issued weapon. Now, the police chief at least charged, says that they were told by federal officials, and this would have been under the Biden administration, that he was legally permitted to work in the country and that proper documentation was submitted via the Department of Homeland Security's E-Verify system. And anyhow, that's what the chief is saying. No telling what happened during the Biden admin, but Captain Brett.
Well, it's altogether possible that they were told he was fine, and it turns out the system says he's not. I just can't imagine a police department hiring an officer who is not legally allowed to work in the country. So I'm going to give, for the moment, the benefit of doubt to the agency until we find something out extra.
Got it. And you know, I liked reading the part where he came in legally, but it looks like the visa was good for about a week, and he ended up not leaving the country, and he's been here for about 2 years. So that's that would make him illegal then. So unfortunately, so. Anyhow, so any more commentary on this, guys? If not, we can move to our story with the first video component. So, Luke, did you have something you wanted to throw in there?
No, just don't they do background checks on all those guys before they hire them? Something?
Yeah. Well, apparently the feds told them that they got this new E-Verify thing where you can check on the status of immigrants and stuff. And they said that he checked out. So, I mean, it kind of makes you just like, remember the semi-truck driver in California that just did the U-turn and he killed three people and, he got turned down initially, you know, by the Trump administration. But then when the Biden admin came in, they cleared him to get the driver's license. Then they got a commercial driver's license from California, allowing him to do interstate travel, and bam, that happened. Not even in California. So,
well, you know, Chip, you know, we've done background investigations, and you know, it's a whole lot different from just running the computer than it is to going out and knocking on doors and talking to people. Okay. Yeah. You just can't trust the computers, because what do they say every time we run information on one of our databases? This information may be incorrect.
That's great. And you know what? Sometimes it is. Good point. Well, guys, Let's move on. Thank you very much for the commentary, you know, on our story with a video component. And this is our first story with a video component. So I will tell all of our users, if you're listening audibly, your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're being left out on anything. But if we cover a story that's got a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. We release a copy of the live show that has everything embedded into it. The videos we talk about, pictures of the good guys, the bad guys, and it's a great experience. So the live show is during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday. But the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday, is at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern is when we throw up that special version of the live show. So this is from DetroitNews.com and Police1.com. We have two Lansing police officers and a suspect that they all get shot during a traffic stop.
Okay. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to put you in cuffs.
I'm down. Come on, man.
I'm down.
Head behind your back.
Kill me.
Catch my back.
No, you have to kill me.
Put your hands behind your back or I'm
going
to tase you.
You have to kill me.
Put your hands behind your back.
Hey.
You
have to
kill me.
You have to kill me.
I got his legs.
You guys
do it? No, you're not gonna touch this fucking gun, asshole.
I'm gonna tase him.
You're gonna tase him?
I don't got a good aim. He's trying to get his gun.
No!
I've got his leg.
Just tase him.
Okay. I don't got a good.
Just.
I need his arm.
God damn it!
You're done.
Ah! Head down your fucking back! Got a gun!
So here's what happens. There's the limited information in the story, and I'm going to go to my show notes to explain some other stuff that happened. So we have two Lansing police officers and a suspect, Adriel Ortiz, who ended up getting shot during a traffic stop, and it happened early on Wednesday. The officers and a 28-year-old guy sustained non-life-threatening injuries, and that 28-year-old is our Ortiz bad guy. After the suspect disarmed a detective and fired the gun at two officers, And this is according to Jordan Gulkus, who's the public information director for the Lansing Police Department. Now, they say that detectives said about 11:13 in the morning were conducting a follow-up investigation for a violent crime that happened earlier in the week. They requested help from two uniformed guys to pull over the car. They do a traffic stop on the suspect, and they end up behind a apartment complex. So the officers attempt to arrest this guy. You know, he was down on the ground. The female officer tells him to stand up, and they're going to arrest him, right? And I'm always kind of, you know, every time you kind of, you know, telegraph what you're going to do and you give the bad guy time to think about what he wants to do, not a good thing. So I think that's what happened here. They have him stand up to put him in handcuffs, and he's already in a great position to handcuff him, and they don't do it that way. So now there's a struggle. He tries to run away, and it says that the man, after he fired the detective's weapon, he struck two police officers. Officers return fire, and they end up striking him. Now, he ended up getting hit in the leg underneath the knee. The two detectives, the two patrol officers, and the accused sustained non-life-threatening injuries. So that's kind of the way they're leaving it. Now, look, there's some notes. There's some stuff they're leaving out, which is always a flag for me. So we're going to come back from commercial break and cover that. But let's go to the commercial break right now. We will be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. You know, they're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that a lot of you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR308 platform, it's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, they've got a class, Not Caught Red-Handed, August the 27th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers at Blue and step up your legal game. BlueToGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Luke LaRoe and also retired Captain Brett Bartlett. We left off talking about two Lansing police officers and a suspect that were shot in a traffic stop arrest. And this was from the DetroitNews.com and also Police1.com. And so I just read the story, the account, the synopsis from the media. A lot of stuff left out. So let me go to my show notes here. And just about a minute and 12 seconds into the video, officers had stopped the suspect for a traffic violation, and they were doing that as a request from other officers, and they ended up doing a consent search of his vehicle. He gave them permission, and they find narcotics. None of this is in the regular story that I just went through, right? At this point, we have a female officer telling the suspect to stand up so they can place him in custody. And the fight is on almost immediately. And so then, just like 9 seconds later, the female officer yells that the suspect has grabbed her gun. That's how quick that goes. And as the female officer and the male officer are on top of this guy in the parking lot where the suspect is in a prone position, meaning that he's face down. And at the 1 minute and 30 second mark, the suspect spins around on his back. And as the female officer is threatening to taser him, and now he tells the cops to shoot and just to kill him, right? And another male officer can be now seen grabbing the suspect's legs. So we have one male officer on the top. One guy has his legs. The female is just doing whatever the female thing is that she was doing, which is kind of hard to describe because she's just running around with a taser, threatening to taser him. And so, but he does flip around from being in a prone position to being on his back. Now he's facing up towards our male officer that's on top of him. And we got the other guy with his legs. And so, you see all of a sudden a hand, this bad guy's left hand, come up over the side of the male officer that's on top of him, and he grabs the officer's sidearm that's holstered on the officer's right side of his duty belt. And the officer immediately, his right hand goes down, and he secures that gun, which just means that it's probably a level 3 holster, I'm assuming, and he's just trying to keep the bad guy, that holster close, keep him from being able to take that gun out of that holster. And so then, while this is going on, at 2 minutes and 17 seconds, the taser that was in the officer's hand, it now ends up on the ground. I don't know how that even happened. And then A few seconds later, the taser disappears. A cop has it in his hand, and you can hear it being deployed, and you can hear it going off. In fact, it sounds a lot like that. That's pretty good, isn't it? It's nice to have sound effects. But anyhow, you can hear it cycling and stuff. So then a cop does a knee strike, and he's delivering that to the bad guy. And then all of a sudden, someone says, "Hey, the suspect has a gun!" And then boom, shot fired. And then they return fire, and they hit the bad guy in the leg under the knee. But now we got two cops to the bad guy that have to go to the hospital and stuff. Everybody survives, and that's kind of the way that it ends. And we have some still shots of the suspect doing his thing too while they're wrestling around on the ground. So that's pretty much it. But that's the that's what was left out of the article. Brett Bartlett, you want to start us off?
You know, the most dangerous time for any officer is not the decision to make the arrest. It's when they announce that the arrest is going to happen. And, you know, if you've already got somebody controlled, put the cuffs on them then. I remember, because we were talking about DUI, I remember seeing some really great nighttime DUI officers. They would say, "Okay, the last test is face away and put your hands on top of your head. This is the last test we're going to do." And they never saw it coming. So sometimes you have to be a little, you know, like that. Because the bad guy's going, "Okay, this is it. This is where, if I'm going to break bad, if I'm going to be free, it's going to happen right now." And the officers aren't necessarily prepared for that level right then, because they've made the decision. "Oh, that's a good thing. Okay, we're going to arrest you. Okay, right on." And they start those cuffs coming out. When bad guys start hearing that click, it's something in their brain that says, "That's it. I'm going to fight you." It's like when we get them to central booking and we start feeling, "Okay, good. Oh, thank goodness I'm at central booking." We start relaxing. What's the bad guy thinking? "This is it. I got to break bad. If I'm going to be free, it's going to happen right now." So when we're thinking it's going to be okay, the bad guys are going, no, not right now. So you have to go in. I'm not saying with violence, but you got to go in with a plan, and you can't give any quarter. When it's time to lay hands on a bad guy, you lay hands on him hard.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a human component. If there's a human component, things can go south. So there's always something to be learned from stuff like this. So excellent point. Attorney Luke LaRoe.
Well, that's not the first time I've heard of that kind of a situation occurring. I'm just wondering how many times in a year during some kind of takedown or an arrest does the perpetrator actually get a hold of the officer's gun? I mean, it happens a lot more frequently than I would expect it to happen, quite honestly. You know, it's not the first time I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's scary. And, you know, I mean, in prison, that's all these guys train for, how to defeat, you know, a level 3 holster, you know, because there's things, and I'm not saying what they are, but there's things that you have to do in order to be able to successfully withdraw that firearm from that holster. And that's assuming that they've got the level 3. There are other holsters previously available before they came out with these, that it was much easier to defeat the safety mechanisms. But you're right. A lot of guys put their hands on the gun.
Yeah. And here's another thing. After a bad guy gets an officer's gun, there needs to be somewhat of a stand down to say, "Listen, get everybody in one room. Let's talk about what happened. Is this something we need to approve? Is it a training problem? Is it the equipment problem?" But unfortunately, agencies don't use these, we'll call them failures, as a chance to improve. They're just going to let it walk away.
Yeah, a lot can be learned. Yeah. And of course, that's a crime in and of itself. You start going for the officer's gun, and let's say, God forbid, if they think that you're going to get access to the, like in this case, they would have been completely justified, assuming that they were in fear of great bodily injury or harm to themselves or someone else, just by getting up close and personal, pulling out a gun and just tapping one in the back of the guy's head. You know, they would have been completely justified in doing that.
Listen, what other answer can there be? If a bad guy has his hands on my gun, what other answer could there be other than I'm in a deadly force encounter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
You know, I remember a bad guy facing him. He grabbed my gun, and I remember my instinct was to headbutt him in order to get him to release the gun. But then again, if you draw your gun while he's got a hold of it, the last thing you want is to be in a fight over a gun that's out of the holster, right? So you want to separate, create that distance, and then you're completely, if he's already gone for your gun once, If you can create that distance, you're completely justified in drawing that firearm and pointing at the bad guy, because you really don't want to be in a fight over that gun.
Somebody's got their hands on my gun, and if I can't do anything about it, I'm going to take my hand that's free and I'm going to stick my finger in his eye and I'm going to pop it out. Because
I just talked about doing that yesterday. Yeah.
There's no rules. There's no rules here. I'm going to fight for my life. I'm not a cop anymore. I'm a citizen under 776.012 subparagraph 2, and I'm going to destroy you.
I feel like you just let Grady Snyder on my show is what I feel like right now when you just did that. So,
he'd be talking about 901.151. That was his thing.
Oh, okay. All right. So I told a story yesterday. It was a Signal 6 on a bicycle, you know, an escaped prisoner, but I didn't know he was an escaped prisoner. And so he's running from me. He's on a bike and he's in the hood, wrong way on one ways and alleys and all this kind of stuff. And so then he bails on the bike and I bail out of my car and now we're on foot. And I had drawn down on him and I put my gun back in my holster, but this was not a level 3. This was just a simple snap holster. So I snapped it and that's all we had at the time. And I was on my radio at the time. And so then we ended up fighting. My radio gets knocked off in the field and I hear a static button going the whole time during the fight. But when I land, he throws me in the ground. I kind of get a little bit of the wind knocked out of me. He's on top of me and he grabs my gun and he starts to pull it out of the holster. So it's at least halfway out of my holster. And I'm keeping my weight on it to keep him from pulling out the rest of the way. And the only thing I had, we weren't allowed to carry backup weapons back then, backup guns. So I had my finger and I had a freaking eyeball. And man, there was blood everywhere. And I was just trying to pop that sucker out. And he was screaming. And it, but he would not let go of the gun. And so then Joan Dias rolled up and I'm yelling at her, shoot him, he's got my gun. And she didn't shoot him, but we ended up fighting. He let go when she showed up. And yep. Then we still had to fight him and get him handcuffed. And we did get him handcuffed and he went back to jail. But that's the way that ended. But I had freaking nightmares forever after that.
You know,
that
and other brutal. Than the fact of getting an infection, just, you know, bite his face, bite his nose, do something. Bite Anything his else. Neck, do something. Right.
So
I just don't know if there. I don't know if there's this. If officers nowadays are being trained to go, and then I'll use the old phrase. Remember, we used to say, "I'm going to go medieval on you." Okay. There's no stops here. If I had a tactical nuke, I'd throw it at you, but I don't have one of those.
Ink pen in the temple, whatever you have. You know, after that, it was against policy. I started carrying a 5.38 on my left ankle after that, and it was against policy. But I, you know, the old adage, I'd rather be judged by 6 than carried by 12, or the other way around. So, yeah.
Well, I remember the day, and I was involved in the training, and Chief Castor came in and said, "Hey, I think we're going to allow backup guns again because we went decades without them." And I said, "Okay, here's a lesson plan. Here's a training. Let's do it."
And that was a great day, guys. Coming up on our next commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. All right, guys, GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you guys know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here and attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, get this. The founder, Dana Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is at GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by Tampa Bay attorney, First Amendment rights guru, Luke LaRoe, and also Captain Brett Bartlett. And hey, guys, we've been talking about a lot of fun stuff, especially on the commercial break. We've been talking about a lot of good stuff, too. You know, I know that we were telling some stories and stuff. I know Betty Dunn has got a question for Luke LaRoe. Hurricane Hell Drivers. Do you remember Hurricane Hell Drivers? I'm not even sure what that is, but Brett is nodding his head. And Luke, that was a question to you.
No, I don't really remember that, to be honest with you.
So, Brett, what is that?
They were a demonstration team. They would drive around the track and they would get up on two wheels and they would jump, jump over ramps. And it was just kind of a neat thing back when I was a kid.
Hurricane
Hell Drivers. Yep.
It was probably before our time then, Luke, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So
a lot of what I know was before your time, fellas.
Yeah.
You know, we confirmed that yesterday. I'm the grandfather of the bunch here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right, Chip, huh?
Nonsense. So, and we have Todd Irving was saying he carried a backup against policy too. So I'm hoping the statute of limitations is over on that, Todd, and I haven't got you jammed up there. But
well, Chip, you remember why we lost the guns? And this is a partial
Cowboy
story.
Jones.
Yeah, his gun came out of his ankle holster because it was a bad holster. That's what I heard. And he had to pull the bad guy over. And of course, what did the staff do? They overreacted and said no more back. So for decades.
Yeah.
No backup. Now, here's what's weird. When we developed that policy, I mandated in the policy that the backup gun had to be a revolver because it's very, it doesn't jam.
Dependable.
So I found myself in the very odd position of having to teach police officers how to shoot a revolver.
Now, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the PAT test, we used a revolver because the trigger pulling away that it's cycling and stuff, but you know what I'm saying? The constant eight foot pound trigger. And when we went to, they didn't really have striker fires back then. So it wasn't consistent with the semis and stuff. And, it's interesting that you were trained on semi-automatics. We qualified with semi-automatics, but revolvers for the backup. Interesting.
Yeah. I got a lot of heat over that, but I said, you know, it's just because I know how you guys treat your guns. And revolvers, the revolver's always going to work.
Well, are you guys ready to roll into the next story with the video component?
Roll.
Yes.
All right. So, Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase.
Shooting occurred. Detective Kavanaugh fired several shots, which led the suspect to discard the firearm and surrender. Here is a perspective from Detective Kavanaugh's body-worn camera.
Drop the gun!
So this happened over in Pomona, California. So they say there's an investigation underway, but it happened on it was a Saturday shooting. Pomona Police Department officer and the suspect was hospitalized. It says, according to the police department, the officers were called at about 6:10 in the evening on a Friday, where police ended up shooting the suspect. He was taken to the hospital in an unknown condition, and they recovered a replica firearm. And when I go to my show notes here on this one, there's a foot pursuit. And pretty quickly, I mean, the detective bails out of the car at 1 minute and the 3 second mark. And then 10 seconds later, he yells for the suspect to drop the gun. So he's chasing him on foot. And then just 1 second later, the suspect appears to turn around. He faces the pursuing detective with his gun. And then at 1:20, which is like 6 seconds later, the detective repeatedly fires at the suspect as he approaches an intersection. And you can see the gun was discarded by the suspect at 1:21. But then at 1:28, the detective catches him, and he's seemingly unaware that the dude has already dropped the gun. And then after shots were fired, and then they get the replica gun. So, you know, you can't always, if you're a bad guy and the cops are chasing you and you got a gun, you can't always count on them being aware that you've ditched it, you know, during your travel. They're focusing on sometimes some other things. And of course, it's nighttime. So what do you expect, Captain?
Yeah. Well, you know, bad guys carry two guns every once in a while.
That's true.
You know, he's already shown the propensity. He's a no person. He ran. He disobeyed commands. He had a gun. He pointed it. So, yeah, he's going to get shot no matter what happens. And I remember seeing the picture of that replica gun. Buddy, I would have bet $1 million that was a real firearm. It didn't even have like the, you know, like some of the airsoft guys have an orange tip or orange handle. You could never convince me that wasn't a real firearm.
Yeah. Good point. Luke LaRoe, any input on this one?
I got to tell you, you hear those stories, and I know that there was a situation with a very young child with a replica gun. And, you know, that I can understand. But anybody that is old enough to know the difference, I don't even know why anybody would choose to have a replica gun unless they think they'd get away with it during some kind of a robbery. But, you know, over the years, the lawsuits against police officers for those kinds of things have become more and more in favor of the police. And, you know, absent some bad faith or some intentional desire to cause somebody harm, if you're protecting yourself, it's all based on your common sense and, you know, what happens in the instantaneous decision making that law enforcement officers have to undertake, you know, they're going to find in favor of the officer every time under those kind of circumstances.
Wow. I mean, it's good that they're siding with the police officers now, but I remember when they first came out with the replicas and they wanted everybody to, you know, they're all painted orange. And that means that, you know, cops, if you have an orange tip gun, you can't shoot the bad guy because of course it's an imitation, you know, it's a fake firearm. And of course bad guys are, you know, all they have to do is just put some orange paint on a real gun.
What about this? Yeah. If I knew it was a BB gun and he's pointing it at me, I'm still going to shoot
matter.
Him. It doesn't matter. I mean, right. Death or great bodily harm. What did our parents tell you? You're going to shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
Now, the reason he didn't buy a real gun, Luke, is he spent all his money buying a quality holster.
That's an excellent point. Hey, guys, there's a story that I've been wanting to cover. It's not a great story. And I just mean it. Somebody died in this and it's unfortunate, but I do want to cover it. This is Martin County, Florida. Surveillance video shows a fatal crash between a 79-year-old bicyclist. So the bicyclist is 79 and a Martin County deputy. And so this happened on a Tuesday, and there's surveillance video of this, and there's actually body cam video as well. It shows a fatal crash involving a Martin County deputy who hit a guy that was riding his bicycle, and the bicyclist died. The video shows the moment 79-year-old John Mullins of Jensen Beach was hit by a Martin County deputy that was heading to another call. It was just before 5:30 in the morning, so it was dark out on July the 26th. The deputy had a green light, and they say that so far in the investigation, the sheriff, John Budensick, said that the deputy was within their policies and procedures. He was running lights and sirens. He had the right of way. His speed was not excessive. And get this, the deputy was running lights and sirens, but he was only doing 51 in a 45 zone. Wow. And what's important, according to the sheriff, he said to us, is that he's in control of his vehicle. He's driving. He tries to avoid the crash. He does not lose control of his patrol car. The sheriff also became very animated over a letter that he received Tuesday from an attorney that's representing the family. So this is where that goes. The Martin County Sheriff's Office will not settle for one penny, said the sheriff. The victim lived less than a mile away from the scene, rode through the area daily. No one was at the family's home. But they did speak with the family attorney, who told them that John Mullins was a very safe cyclist. The attorney is Charles Sochting that was handling this on behalf of the family. I couldn't really tell whether the cyclist was wearing like headphones or something. You know, they've got a Florida statute against wearing, you know, headphones when you're driving, so you can hear emergency vehicles and equipment, that kind of stuff. But at nighttime, he should have been able to see the lights too. But just a sad situation all the way around. Luke LaRoe.
Well, you know, there's a lot that plays into these kinds of situations, and the days of filing a lawsuit against the government for any kind of police conduct and just expecting a quick, inexpensive settlement, those days are over. And I've heard more often than not, you're not going to get a penny. And a lot of times, unless there's something that's this dramatic, it really doesn't pay to get involved in the cases where you've got legitimately unreasonable use of force and things of that nature. But because of the burden of going through all of the litigation and the expectation of what the recovery will be, even if you're going to get your attorney's fees, it's too much work. And you just don't really get involved in those cases. And you have to apologize to people that get a hold of you. But again, it gets down to the situation. Unless you've got some kind of ability to show that the officers were way beyond the call of duty and acting in bad faith. I mean, just simple negligence doesn't really get you there because of the responsibilities that the police officers have to implement. But those cases are tough. It's unfortunate that we have a loss of life. But, you know, unless you've got something that's that serious, more attorneys are going to decline getting involved in cases that don't have that amount of damage to pursue. So that's the nature of the situation.
Excellent commentary. Thank you guys so much. Another great show. Thank you so much, Luke LaRoe and Captain Brett Bartlett. Stick with us, guys. We are going to be talking about the Wounded Blue real quick at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world or hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And, you know, they've also got that summit coming up as well. So they got a lot of things going on. I support them monthly. And you know what? I'm not worried about those guys embarrassing me. So if you're looking for an organization to get behind the support that's helping cops out with PTSD and those types of issues, please consider going to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And guys, please support our sponsors to go to the great lengths to make the show available to you. A shout out again to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunler.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. We appreciate you guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.